Morning, everybody. In preparation for our meeting of worship and remembrance this morning, as I sing the words of hymn 163, I'm acutely reminded that I am a work in progress, and that whilst we have aspirations of a wholehearted, total dedication to God for some of us, it's a case that it is definitely WIP. And certainly this morning, our brother John is going to be exhorting us along the themes of growth and the importance of growth. The importance of growing in spiritual wisdom is the theme of Brother John's exhortation this morning. And he's requested that Proverbs chapter 4 be read for us. And now we're going to invite Brother John to speak to us, the importance of growing in spiritual wisdom. Thanks, John.
Good morning, brethren and sisters, and thank you, Brother Kent. And certainly Kent has highlighted the fact that, yes, my words of exhortation this morning are around learning and spiritual growth. And as Kent mentioned, that we are a work in progress. And so may it be that our Heavenly Father will bless us with wisdom and with understanding as we meditate upon his words this morning. Just a couple of weeks ago, on the 17th of September, it was my 31st birthday. Not my physical birthday, of course, but my spiritual birthday. It has been 31 years since I was baptised, and I still remember it quite clearly. It was a major milestone in my life, as it is for anybody who is baptised. In the months leading up to my baptism, I was taken through first principles instruction by our brother Peter Williamson. I did my confession of faith and assessment at the home of Brother Ron and Sister Alice Palmer, and it was done over 2 weeks. And it was Brother Ron Palmer and Brother Alan Dangerfield who did my assessment. And I recall Brother Alan Dangerfield, knowing that I had an interest in prophecy, asking me to explain Daniel chapter 2 and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and what the image represented. And I remember thinking afterwards, that wasn't that much of a difficult question. And I didn't have to go into too much detail explaining it. And Ron and Alan were happy with my answer. My baptism was on a Sunday night at the old Fullerton Hall. My father baptised me. Brother Paul Duke was the chairman. Brother Reg Bryan did the reading of John chapter 3, which is not too difficult for me to remember. And Brother Peter Williamson provided words of welcome and encouragement. And then the following week, on the Sunday morning, I was welcomed into the household of faith by our brother Jim Kay. And our brother Richard Sanderson gave the exhortation on that occasion. And his reading then was Luke chapter 17. I still have the recording of my baptism on a cassette. I still have a cassette player on which to play it. It's wearing out a little bit, but it still works. I think many of us have recordings of our baptisms and the Sunday mornings that we were received in. And so I ask you the question, when was the last time that you listened to the recording of your baptism? To listen to yourself confess your faith in God and Jesus Christ and in the kingdom to come. Often it's uncomfortable listening to our own voice, but I think it's very special to listen to our own confession. I recall all of these details about my baptism for you because each year I do stop on my baptismal birthday to remember my confession of faith. And I think it's important that we do remember our spiritual birthday. After all, it's far more important than our physical birthday, isn't it? We need to remind ourselves of the commitment that we made, but also to remind ourselves of the progress that we have also made since our baptism. Sure, it's not all smooth sailing. After our baptism, there are highs and lows. But in general, we have made progress in our spiritual journey. I recall that my baptism was a very happy occasion, as it is for most. And I remember the great relief of thinking that all my past sins had been washed away and I was clean, a new start. But I was not ready for baptism. Well, I was ready for the act of baptism, but I wasn't ready for a life dedicated to God. I wasn't ready to be committed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And you're probably thinking to yourselves, now that's an odd thing to say, John. Surely you thought about what you were getting into before you got baptized? And the answer is yes, I did. But I wasn't ready for it. I remember quite clearly the first week after I was baptized, around the middle of the week, I came to the realization that I had sinned. I cannot recall exactly what the sin was. Or perhaps I have just conveniently blocked it out of my mind, too ashamed to remember it. And even if I could remember it, I'm not sure I could share it with you. The particular sin is not important. What is important is that I realised that I had sinned. And I remember I really struggled with that fact, that I had sinned. After all, I had recently been baptised. Spiritually, I had been made perfect. I had all my past sins washed away and I was clean. But I could not even last 1 week without sinning. And the truth is, I probably didn't even last 24 hours after my baptism before I began to sin again. I may not have even lasted 1 hour after my baptism before I sinned. I just didn't recognise it at the time. An evil thought, a slanderous word against somebody else. Was I not committed? Was I not prepared? After my baptism, I still had the same sinful nature. Did I not realise that I would still sin? Of course I did. I knew that I would still sin after my baptism. I would not be made perfect. So why did I feel so sad? The reason was because I had committed myself to something, and in my eyes, I felt that I had failed. As we do every week, don't we? But it's not all bad, because we can learn from these failures. But I suspect that this is a struggle for many people, if not all of us who have been baptized. And I suspect that it may even be a contributing factor that causes some of us to hesitate to become baptized in the first place. It did for me. I remember thinking that I wasn't good enough, or that I didn't know enough about the Bible to be baptized. But these sorts of thoughts should not hinder us in our walk in our journey. So why did I get baptized? And why did you get baptized? And if you are not baptized, why should you become baptized? Baptism is like many of the major events in our lives, the major milestones that we have in our lives. And we are never fully ready for any of them. And I would like to consider a few of them for a moment. If you've finished school and you've entered the workforce, try to recall your first days, weeks, or months of real work out in the workforce. Were any of us really prepared for full-time work? Did we really understand what it would really be like, the commitment of full-time work? And those of us who are married, and let's be honest now, were any of us fully prepared for what married life would be like, suddenly living with another person? And as much as we love our partners, it's not always smooth sailing, is it? And a relationship with our husbands and wives is something that must be worked at. And we make mistakes, don't we? And we learn from them. And then there is the ultimate in unpreparedness, and that is having children. I remember many people saying to me, "You are never ready to have children. You can never be prepared for the impact that children will have on your life." And they were right. Children are not always easy. But we would not have it any other way. Because of the love and joy that we get in return. And so it is with baptism. We are never fully prepared for the impact and the commitment required once we are baptized. Because it's like all these things, a job, a marriage, children, baptism, they are not an end in themselves. They are a beginning, they are a stepping stone. And once started, there is a tremendous amount of learning that takes place in the days, months, and years that follow these steps in our lives. We do not need to know everything about them before we start. We don't need to know everything about a particular job in order to get a job. We don't need to know everything about marriage to get married. We do not need to know everything about children in order to have children. And we do not need to know everything about God and Jesus and the scriptures in order to become baptized. A life in Jesus Christ is a journey. And baptism is not the destination. It is a step on our way, on our spiritual journey. And we must start with the basics. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now we'll say, keep your hand in Proverbs, because we will come back to Proverbs. But for the moment, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Many of you will know this verse because it's referred to many times during baptisms. First of Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We don't get baptized with the expectation that we will simply just stop our sinful nature, or as it refers to here in this verse, the filth of the flesh. Sure, we try to make every effort to resist our sinful nature, but it is still there. Just into the next chapter, 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, it reads, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." And the inference there at the end is that not that he ceased from sin, but he ceased from wanting to sin. We get baptized because our conscience tells us that it is the right thing to do, based on our belief of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's one of the reasons why we're here today, isn't it? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. But it's not easy. And certainly a life in Christ takes some commitment. And it's not a decision to be taken lightly. On one hand, we are giving our entire life to God. And we must be sure that that is something that we really want to do. But let's put that into perspective. Is that really as big a commitment as we think it is? I also have with me today my trusty tape measure, which I received for my physical birthday a little bit earlier this year. And I'd like to use this as a bit of a demonstration. I am 52 this year. And so what we have there is 52 centimetres on my tape measure. In 52 years, when I think about it, I have achieved an awful lot. But if I am granted eternal life, even if God only grants me 1,000 years in the millennium, this tape measure represents 52 years. 1,000 years, this tape measure would be right up past the roof, outside the roof. Even if I put this tape measure down on the floor, it's still past the roof, and that's only for 1,000 years. And the kingdom does not end at the end of the first 1,000 years. The kingdom continues on forever. Not just tens of years or hundreds of years or thousands of years, but it's tens of thousands of years. It is eternity that God is willing to give us if we commit just this amount of time to him. It's not really that big a commitment, is it? When we consider what we get in return. But remember, baptism is only the beginning. And this is about a life of commitment and learning. We are a work in progress. And we accept the fact that after baptism, we will still sin. We may not like it, but this is the situation that we have to work with, and we are here to learn. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and at the end of the chapter, verses 15 to 17. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." I recall so many of my teachers through high school and particularly through TAFE would say things like, "You are here to learn. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. It is better for you to make a mistake now in the safety of the classroom and to learn from it. And so it is with a life dedicated to God and following Jesus. We will make mistakes. We will sin. But there are two things that must happen if this occurs. The first being that we must ask for forgiveness for our sins. We must sincerely ask for forgiveness. And the second point is that we must learn from our mistakes in order that we can avoid making the same mistakes again in our lives. And in any learning situation, we need a textbook for our life with Christ. And we have the textbook of life here before us, isn't it? The Bible. I've heard people say that the Bible contains instructions on how to handle every aspect of life. And I'll be honest, I don't think I've lived long enough yet to know that for certain. But I'm quite confident that the Bible does contain instruction for all of life's challenges. But it's not enough just to know the theory. We have to know how to apply it in our lives to be really useful. It's not enough to know the meaning of the verses or the passages of Scripture. Not enough just to know the historical stories or the future prophecies. But far more importantly is that we know how to apply these teachings in our lives, and particularly in these last days when we can see the world in turmoil and we know that the return of Christ is very soon. It would be a wasted life for a person who spends all their life gaining knowledge but does not take the time to apply it for the benefit of others and for themselves. The reading we had as an introduction today made many references to wisdom, and the writer of the Proverbs, King Solomon, is considered to be the wisest of all, except for the Lord Jesus, of course. Come back to Proverbs chapter 4. The word wisdom appears around 220 times throughout the scripture, and a quarter of them are here in the book of Proverbs. I'll reread just a couple of sections. Verses 1 and 2. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not the law. And continuing on in verses 5 to 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is this principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It speaks for itself, really, doesn't it? But how does that apply to our everyday life? Over time, we increase our knowledge of the scriptures, and like any good educational institution, we need to have that knowledge tested, don't we? We need to have our knowledge of the scriptures tested to ensure that we understand it, so that we might grow from that understanding. And these are the trials of life that we go through. God puts us through these trials because, like any good parent, he wants us to grow up and to achieve our best. But for that to happen, he must put us through trials. He must put us in situations that we are not comfortable with, that we're not always happy with. Situations that put us out of our comfort zone. Situations that will stretch our knowledge of the scriptures to know and to understand the difference between right and wrong. But God does not want us to be hurt or to fail. And as a parent, who wants that for their children? But as much as we would like to wrap our children up in cotton wool and to protect them from the world around us, we would be doing them a disservice. We need to expose them to things under controlled situations. And God is the same. He does not wrap us up in cotton wool to completely shield us from everything in the world around us. He helps us to become exposed to things, to go through trials in our lives. And we must experience these trials and tests in order for us to grow. We don't need to turn to it, but the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, in chapter 10 and verse 13, wrote, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There is no new temptation or trial that has not been experienced before in the history of the world. We will not be tempted by something that no one else has ever been tempted with. And God will not tempt us beyond what we are able to withstand. With every temptation and trial in life, there is always a way of escape. There is always a way through it. We just have to look for it and choose it. But the Proverbs, however, do not suggest that it is easy for people to secure wisdom. And scattered throughout the Proverbs, we are warned to avoid the ways of the wicked. Further on in chapter 4 of Proverbs, from verse 14, it reads, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Temptation and sin will always be there. It will always be around us in this life. And how we respond to it, how we respond to these situations, depends on where our heart is. Have a look at verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And I have written in my margin, "Be careful of your heart, for your emotions can lead you astray." This verse is perhaps one of the most searching and the most significant passages in the book of Proverbs. It has very deep meanings. Every moment of our life, while we are awake, perhaps even while we are asleep, there is a constant stream of thoughts going through our mind, ideas. And these thoughts and ideas are triggered by the people and events and the environment around us. And how we respond outwardly is based on our inward emotion to each of these thoughts. And it depends on where our heart is and our understanding of the scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2 reads, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's at his left." And there's many other passages throughout scripture that refer to our heart and how it should be managed. Some of them are, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." "My son, give me thine heart. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." That's why we come here each week, isn't it? To remind ourselves of the life that Jesus lived and the sacrifice that he gave for us.
We are here to reaffirm our heart on the things of God and Jesus Christ, the things of the coming kingdom, because it's these things that should emotionally move us. In these last days, it is important that we continually refresh our minds and our hearts in the scriptures. Come over a page to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 20 to 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction, these are the trials of life that we must endure so that we will learn and grow in spiritual wisdom. Come with me into the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 12. Just in conclusion, I want us to consider the trials of Jesus' life, because that is why we're here, to remember Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We have no reason to think that we've got it tough in this world. If we think we're having a hard time in our lives, consider the trials and temptations that Jesus went through. And he went through those trials and temptations for the joy that was set before him. And he did it for us, that we may have a hope of salvation. We come each week to remember Jesus and to remind ourselves of the high calling that we have been called to reset our minds and our hearts on his perfect example of life. That perfect example of life that we look up to, that we strive to replicate. Sure, we don't always get it right, but we have Jesus as our sacrifice to cover our sins. Life is not always easy, but we are on a journey and we are a work in progress, and we must keep working at improving our spiritual wisdom. Continue, brethren and sisters, to show your faith and confidence in God, and continue to help each other on this journey as Jesus is also helping us.